so glad that you've joined us this early Sunday morning. Well, recently I've had a moment in my relationship with Jesus that has marked me. I was reading a devotional and it said, "I am the goal you're searching, all you're searching. I am the goal of all you're searching. Let nothing dampen your search for me." The scripture reference was Jeremiah 29:13. It says, "You will see me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And that "all your heart" just leaped off the page. I knew the Holy Spirit was revealing something in me. There was a thought, "You have a heart divided." And I immediately knew, for me, it was social media. I had been scrolling and searching and filling my mind with things and others' opinions rather than what God says about me. At the time, I knew God was asking me to put something down to find Him. And is there any comparison? No. But there needed to be a decision. I immediately deleted my accounts, and since then, my time with Him has increased. Instead of scrolling when I'm sitting in the car waiting to pick up my kids, I worship, I read scripture. He's more real to me today than yesterday. So this morning, we look to Jesus. Let's lay down distraction. Let's tune our ears and our hearts to the one who gave everything so we can draw near. We look to you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, and no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. As I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all you, it's all about you, I'm coming Jesus. Back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you,
all about you,
it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
And from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Jesus, I'll be the
Will creation suddenly articulate with a thousand dogs to lift one cry? Then from north to south and east to west, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Will the whole earth echo in His eminence? His name would burst from sea to sky. Then from rivers to the mountain tops, we hear Christ be magnified.
Hey, yeah. John 1:12 states, "But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." Now, I lost my dad when I was 9 years old. And if you ask my family, they'll tell you I was his favorite. And I won't deny it. I was his favorite. And it was a hard loss. But I was missing him really bad one day, and I prayed to God. Now, I sometimes say dumb things to God. I say it a lot, and this is one of those. I prayed to him, and I said, "Hey, you don't understand what it's like to lose and not have a father. But he's always loving, and he always shows me the truth." And he said, "Candy, I lost my earthly father when I was young also. I was also separated from God the Father on the cross for you. I know what you're going through, but let me be your Abba Father. You are my favorite." And I believe he is saying that to someone here today. He says you are his favorite. He wants you to be your Abba Father. Let him in. Let him show you how kind, loving, and merciful he is. Call him Abba. He desires that, and he desires you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and adopting us as your own children. Our hearts cry out to you, and we want you to be our Abba Father. Lord, we love you, and we welcome you here, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. If this is your first time visiting with us in person or online, welcome. We're so glad you decided to worship with us today. At New Covenant, we invite all people in the communities where we live to know, hear, and respond to Jesus Christ. You can learn more about NCC and become part of our church family or join a volunteer team by going through our Connect class online or by attending one of our in-person upcoming classes. If you would like to bless what God is doing through the ministries at NCC with your tithes and offerings, you can use the offering boxes or give online at newcovenantlampasas.com. If you have any questions about what's going on at NCC or want more information on how to get connected, please stop by the hub desk after the service. Again, we are so glad you're here with us this morning. Now let's open and prepare our hearts for the Word.
Glad you are here this morning. Welcome back to winter. You just got to live in Texas, right? And spring break is happening right now, and the school systems and a lot of our families are gone and things. There will be no high school youth, our middle school and high school youth tonight because of spring break, but also there will not be Wednesday night NCC kids this week because of the families traveling and spending time together. And so make yourself aware of that. We come to the end of a series that we've been in for the last couple of weeks, and this is the last one, but we're in a series called Responsibility. Responsibility. Responsibility is to have that capacity for moral decisions and therefore be accountable. God created us with the freedom to respond. We call it to choose. So responsibility is the power, the authority of our choices. You're absolutely free to choose, but you're not free from the consequences of your choices. The most amazing truth to me is the way God created these things. God self-limited himself in his unlimited sovereign activity to correspond with the choices that man might make to depend upon him in a personal faith-love relationship. Though God can do all that he pleases, as he pleases, he will not violate or interfere with the freedom of choice or response that he's granted to mankind. We know from Scripture, the Genesis account, that Adam and Eve chose to respond to the liar, Satan. And since then, it's called the fall. And everyone born since Adam has this bent to respond to the enemy, Satan, the spirit of this age, to the world, to the flesh, to the pride of life. But I've got good news for you. Satan can't take away your choice either. You are free to choose God. You're free to choose to follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus is our great example for those who for a responsibility. Jesus responded to the Father. He was the Son of God, born into this world to be the Son of Man. And while he was fully God, he lived his life fully human, tempted in all ways such as we, but he chose to respond to the Father in every way inside out. For 33 years, Jesus used his responsibility to respond to his Father, even when it meant death on a cross as a sacrifice for the sin of mankind. And in paying sin's price, he broke Satan's power to hold mankind captive. And he proved it by rising from the grave, alive to God, never to die. And with his death and his resurrection, he gave us another choice. We can choose him. We can choose life. We can choose to be born again, alive to God, filled with the very eternal life of God. But though we are born again with the very life of God, God still doesn't violate or interfere with the freedom to respond or the freedom of choice. We now have the Holy Spirit to teach and guide and empower us, but we must choose to respond. You are living right now in the spiritual reality of your choices. As a follower of Christ, you can live in the fullness of the promises and the purposes of God. There's nothing being withheld from you. All things are yours in Him. But this life is lived by responding, by choosing to respond to Jesus, to the living one, to the Holy Spirit. You have as much of God's blessings as you choose to receive or to respond to. Galatians 5:1, Paul says this. This is the New American Standard. He says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." I like the Message translation of this verse. Peterson says, "Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you." Freedom is the ability for you to be what God created and purposed and is pleased for you to be in all of its glory and its fullness. Freedom is not free to do as you please, but free to be all you were created and intended to be. Thanks to Jesus, you have a choice. You have that freedom, that ability to respond. So let me ask you, how many of you have ever made a wrong choice? Buddy? How many of you made a stupid choice? I mean a really dumb one. Yeah. How many of you have made a tragic choice? Yeah. Even after following Christ, even when we know better, how many of you have made a wrong choice? Yeah. So I want to talk to you this morning about what if I choose wrong? What if I respond wrong? What if I blow it? Now let me just say this to you. As long as I live in this world, in this flesh, you will have the opportunity to choose to do wrong. Doesn't mean you have to do wrong. You just have the opportunity. God's not going to take that opportunity away from you. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to conquer sin. He didn't remove sin from the world. He just removed you from its power. You have a choice. But that doesn't mean that God's going to intervene or interfere with that choice that you have. And you still can choose to respond to the liar, the deceiver. Or you can choose to respond to the Holy Spirit, the truth, and life. What would it be? What will God do if I make a wrong choice? You want to see it? I'll turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Jesus is eating his last Passover meal and he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper. And his disciples have been with him for 3 years. He's washed their feet. He's instructed and corrected and he loved them. And the time has come now for his arrest, his sacrifice, his death. And in just a few hours, it would all begin, that journey to the cross. But in the meantime, but first, before all of this happens, Jesus had some words for Peter. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, we're going to begin reading. Verse 31, Luke 22. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Verse 33, but Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus said, "I'll tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." Peter says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." How many times you said, "Lord, I'm ready to go. I'll do whatever you want. It just, Lord, you are so real to me. I'll do whatever, whenever, wherever you want. Lord, I'm ready to go." Peter really believed that, and so do we. We really, we intend it. It's in our heart to do that. "I tell you, Peter," Jesus said, "that's not going to happen like you think." You see, Peter truly believes that he will go to prison and even die with Jesus. But here's the thing. Jesus knows Peter better than Peter knows Peter. He knows you better than you know you. He already knows that Peter will deny him. I want you to see what Jesus' response was to the knowledge of Peter's pending wrong choice. Verse 31 again. "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you." That word "asked," exateo. It's used only here in all of the Bible. And it means to ask for with emphasis and with implication of having a right to do so. In other words, Satan is demanding permission to sift Peter like wheat. That's a shaking. You do know that, right? To sift is to shake it, throw it up, throw it around, abuse the wheat. In order, we know it's in order to separate the grain from the chaff. But you see, Satan is wanting to destroy the grain. Jesus is wanting to separate the chaff. Satan has asked for you, demanded you. And Jesus is warning Peter and all of us. That's what I want you to hear this morning. All of them and all of us. Because when it says Satan has asked for you, the "you" there is plural. He's asked for y'all. He's demanded. And let me tell you something. I want you to understand that because of our sin, Satan has every right. Apart from Jesus, Satan has every right to demand justice for our sin. Our enemy has the right to accuse us, to tempt us, to test us. Not because Jesus didn't love us and all that, but because of our wrong choices. Jesus is warning Peter, but something I want you to hear, that Jesus doesn't lecture Peter or try to convince him that he wasn't where he thought he was at. And most amazing of all to me, there was no intervention. Jesus doesn't intervene to prevent Satan from trying to get Peter to fall. What's up with that? Don't you expect Jesus just to keep you from doing things? Don't you just expect Jesus to protect you and not let you make your stupid choices? We wish. He will not intervene or contradict your choice. Peter was about to make a huge mistake, a life-altering wrong choice. I want you to hear this. Jesus didn't stop it. Now, before we go any farther, I want you to, there's something very important in this account, in this word, that you need to understand. The enemy has to ask God's permission to sift Peter, to tempt Peter, to test Peter. That tells you who's really in charge, even in the midst of a wrong choice. Could it be that God is not afraid of what the enemy tries to do when he already knows, God already knows a plan for your good outcome? In Jeremiah 29:11, we love this verse. I know the plans I have for you. Well, usually we take it out of context. This verse in context is that Israel has made stupid choices, had worshipped idols, had done things, and they were going to be taken into captivity for 70 years. They were about to get the consequences of their choices. And God, in the middle of saying, this is what's coming to you, he says this in verse 11, "But I know the thoughts and plans," Amplified Version, "that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." God has a plan, and even the enemy can't interrupt that plan, but it will not mean that you cannot choose wrong. Well, why didn't Jesus do something? How many times do we blame God for our wrong choices? God, you knew better. You knew I was that way. Why didn't you do something? Listen, Jesus did do something for Peter. Look at verse 32. "I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I've prayed for you." Jesus did something for Peter specifically. He prayed for him. He prayed that he would not be so devastated by this reality check that he's fixing to walk through, that his faith would not fail. I love the word "fail" there. It's something we're fixing to have in April 8th. The Greek word there for fail is be eclipso. It's to be overshadowed. That your faith would not come behind, fail to be out front, that your faith would not disappear. "I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail." And Jesus didn't stop with that. He painted a word picture for Peter of what was on the other side of this wrong choice. "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers." The word there is sterezo. Sterezo means to establish, not just pump, lift your brothers up after you return to me, but establish them in the faith that you have found because of this test. Establish your brothers. You see, Jesus knew once Peter chose to deny him, it's going to be hard for Peter, because Peter was a man of pride. Arrogance. Peter thought he was much more than Peter was. And Jesus knew that Peter's going to have a hard time getting over this failure. He's going to have a hard time believing that God's goodness and his kindness was big enough to cover his epic failure. And Jesus says, "Peter, I see you." He sees Peter, his friend, restored and helping, establishing others because he's learned from his experience. And Jesus prophesied Peter's future right in the middle of his warning him of his choice. He didn't say, "If you return." He says, "When you return." When you return. Now's another choice for Peter. Even after a wrong choice, he has another choice. Would you choose to believe? Would he choose to believe the love and the grace of God, or would he in shame run away? Jesus allowed the choice to occur, but he also equipped Peter with hope and interceded for him to choose well. Verses 54 through 60 tells of Peter's progression after this conversation. After Jesus was arrested, verse 54 says that Peter followed at a distance. And then in verse 55, he sat among them around the fire that they made. And then verse 57, he denies knowing Jesus to the servant girl. In verse 58, another one says, you're also of them, and he denies it. In verse 59, after about an hour or so, the man says, surely this fellow was with them because he's a Galilean too. And in verse 60, here's Peter's response. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And verse 61 is an amazing verse. It's not in the other Gospels. It's not in John. Verse 61 says this, and the Lord Jesus turned and looked at Peter. All of this was going on, all the circumstances of his arrest and the accusations and the beatings and all of these things that was happening to Jesus right at that time. He turns and makes eye contact with Peter. And look at what it says. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Can you imagine the horror, the embarrassment, the realization of an epic failure that when Jesus made eye contact with Peter? You know, we all know those looks, right? Mamas have those looks. I mean, they can preach a sermon in a look. They can correct a wayward child with a look. They sometimes can correct a wayward husband with a look. And so sometimes when we think of this, Jesus, he looked at him. It was almost like, can you imagine what Peter felt when Jesus made eye contact with him? But listen to me. It couldn't have been disappointment or shock. It couldn't be accusation because the Lord already knew it was going to happen. Well, then what was it? I believe with all of my heart that when he made contact and the thing that broke Peter's heart wasn't what he had done, but it was, I believe with all of my heart, what Peter saw when he saw into Jesus' eyes was a look of absolute love. You see, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, Romans 2:4 says. When Jesus' eyes met Peter's, his unconditional love combined with his intercession to the Father and his confidence in the Father's plan unlocked a path, unlocked Peter's heart to move away from condemnation into repentance and receive forgiveness that was already present in the heart of God. But Peter must still choose to believe it. To embrace the forgiveness that Jesus was right then making provision for. The scripture says Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can imagine most of us would have done the same thing. But you see, you've got to read the rest of the story. I'm not going to take time to read all the passages because I think you know them. We're in that season when we look at the story. Peter does return. Not if, when. Peter returns. You have to go to John chapter 21 to see this. Peter, in resurrection, Jesus has appeared to them, but then there's a space of time when and Peter says to his other disciples, he says, I'm going back to fishing. I'm going fishing. How many times when you've messed up real bad, you want to do something you're familiar with? I'm going fishing. And all the other apostles said, we go with you. And they go out, John chapter 21, you see that they go fishing. And then they fished all night and not caught anything. And as they're rowing, let me tell you, anytime you go away from Jesus, you don't catch nothing. Anytime you run away in shame, you're not headed anywhere but more shame. Peter, they're fishing, don't catch anything. They're rowing, they see a man on the seashore. He's got a fire and he's cooking fish. What they couldn't catch was there already with him. Jesus was there, and Peter recognizes he jumps out of the boat, he swims to the shore to be the first one to meet Jesus. That's Peter. who made a stupid decision. An epic fall. Jesus gets him by himself. And he, you remember the story. Simon, do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you love me with a self-sacrificial heart? Peter says, Lord, I phileo you. I love you like a brother. And Jesus says, Simon, do you agape me? Do you love me? Peter says, Lord, I have great affection for you. Finally, Jesus asks him one more time, Simon, do you even phileo me? Do you even have a brotherly love for me? And Peter says to him, Lord, you know I love you. How many times did Peter deny him? How many times did Jesus ask him if he loved him? Jesus is saying to you, Peter, that wasn't your failure. That was your opportunity to choose to live with me. Now feed my sheep. Establish your brothers. Jesus restored Peter. You know, you get 50 days later and they're in the upper room waiting and the Holy Spirit is poured out on them on the day of Pentecost and fire, tongues of fire come. But who was it that stepped out and began to say what was going on? Peter, in boldness, he began to proclaim this Jesus, who he was, what he died for, and how they could choose to receive him, respond to him. Peter, it wasn't just restoration, it was a change of attitude. It was a change of action. He was empowered to do something before he had done it in pride and arrogance, in self-will. Now he does it in submission and surrender to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And he gives people a new choice, and 3,000 people respond that day. I've often imagined Peter in the later years. You can read 1st and 2nd Peter. I'd advise you to do it with this story in mind. With this story that Peter was the epic failure. Read 1st Peter, what he's writing to the people, writing to the church. I can imagine Peter. I've wondered if there were times when persecuted Christians came to him, ashamed and devastated at the choices they had made under the pressures of persecution. Can't you imagine Peter's response to a devastated believer, overwhelmed with grief and shame because he's made a stupid decision? I wonder how many times Peter said, I know just how you feel. Let me tell you a story. That which was meant to destroy Peter became a powerful message about a Christ who prays for us, a Savior who knows our weakness, who knows we're but dust, about a friend who sees us restored and ministering to others as we've been ministered to, about one who is able to turn the schemes of the enemy into his own defeat time and time again. The thing that I want you to see in this wrong choice is through this wrong choice, God captivated Peter's heart with a love that reaches beyond wrong choices. Do you know that love? Do you know that look when you've made a dumb choice? Do you know, do you see how much God loves you? 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8. And the Amplified says this, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without wavering. Love never fails. It never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. I'm going to invite the altar team to come. Do you know this look of love? Let me tell you something. You will make wrong choices. Then you have another choice. What will you do when you made that wrong choice? Will you run to the one who loves you with his unfailing love, who believes the best about you, whose love is fadeless under all circumstances and has never failed? Or will you go away in shame, thinking you've messed everything up? There's no way God can forgive you. Jesus is coming to us today, and saying this to us. Do you love me? I know you've made wrong choices. I'm asking you something totally different. Do you love me? The enemy can't keep you from what I've got planned for you when you respond to me. Your response releases my ability to let you become what you've always dreamed of being, in my purpose, in my plans. He wants you to be captivated by his love for you, because he understands something very important. A captivated heart will freely choose to follow him. All our choices are just opportunities to wake us up to the possibilities of the life Jesus has for you. Do you love him? Stand together with me. Father, I can't help but be reminded of them stupid choices I've made in my life. And the grace and the amazing thing that you never once turned away from me. And even when times when I tried to run away in shame, I ran into your love. I ran into you. And you always received me, because the price had been paid, the way had been made for another choice, another response, a response of submission and surrender. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, people who've made the wrong choices, the epic wrong choices, even knowing better, and we chose anyway. Father, I pray that they'll not turn away from you, but they will turn to you. And in your love, and in your grace, you will restore to them the joy of your salvation. Father, I pray for those who think they've already made it. There's no way they could even be saved because of what they've chosen in the past. Let me just say, Jesus paid for your past that he might give you his future. Lord, show them their future in you. Lord, I love you, and I surrender and submit to you everything. Lord, I bind the liar and every lie he's told us about the love of God and the forgiveness of God. And I loose the Holy Spirit to speak truth now in Jesus' name to the hearts and lives. Give them courage to respond. We trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stacy's going to sing. We invite you to respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life right now. They are available to pray with you. Don't wait for somebody else. Say yes to Jesus today. Say yes to him.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. And here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room. to do whatever you want to, whenever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, whatever you want to.
You ever wonder what Peter would say to us? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Choose to follow Jesus. Father, we honor you, we bless you. May your name be expressed through our life in this generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The ministry team will be available if you have any prayer needs. You can avail yourself to that. May God bless you. Have a blessed week.